Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That's a clip. You probably know that. welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago. It's a great day. It's been a beautiful, beautiful summer. And we are still having that summer. And it's great. I'm hearing that we will have a mild winter. That's a no-brainer. I spoke yesterday on the show that there was going to be a mild winter because they're talking about 80s next week. And that's great. That's wonderful. And I'm sitting in my studio near the lake. And the sun is shining. And they're also talking about 80s in October for the city of Chicago. You know, I mean, it's great, folks. It's just wonderful. And wherever you are in the world, I hope the weather is beautiful wherever you are, you know, even if it's Arizona. All right. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio right here, WTTTY. I'm on Facebook. I'm all over the place. Twitter, you know that. I'm on Amazon.com also. I'm working on some new stuff. And it's just wonderful. And thank you for joining me today on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, 80s in October. Wow, that's something. The Chicago Cubs are about to clinch a playoff spot. Their magic number is down to one. They can either clinch it tonight or the Cardinals will have to lose. Either way, they're going to clinch this thing. I mean, they are going to clinch this thing. They clinched it last year, but when they made it to the playoffs, they faltered. And let's hope they don't falter this time. Okay, they're going to either clinch tonight, and everybody is they're standing in the wings waiting to celebrate. It's going to be something out at Wrigley Field in a few hours from now, and because this is, you know, September 15th, and if you listen to the show podcast, you know, it's going to be a little, it's not going to balance itself out. It's not going to coincide, but you know that it's a podcast. And by the time you podcast the show, the Cubs have already won, then clinched this thing. Maybe even World Series. I started to say the Super Bowl, maybe even the World Series. But it is a, I'm going to say, tell you this, folks, it is an exciting time in the city of Chicago because the whole world, from my understanding, or they should be, every eye should be on the Chicago Cubs. This, you know, I didn't believe in them in the beginning, but now I'm a believer because they are winners. Let's face it, folks, these young guys, these young boys, compared to my age, that's what they are. They have so much talent, and that is phenomenal. They have so much talent, and they're using it, and they're being successful with it. And I tell people every day on this show and elsewhere, I mean, if you have talent, use it, or you're going to lose it, just like anything else. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. If you have talent, if you can, every one of us have talent. We have something that we can do great. We can make a difference. The only way we choose not to make a difference or not to use the talent that we have, it's because of you. You are going to slow yourself down. No one else is. You know, but if you don't have the drive, if you don't have the ambition, the courage, you don't have the, let me say this, if you don't have the courage to fail, then you're in trouble because we're all going to fail. But that doesn't mean that we have to stop trying. I tell my son this all the time and say, hey, wow, you're not going to win everything you go out. You're not going to win all the time. You're not going to win every the hearts of everybody, man and you know, woman. You're not going to win everybody's. You're not going to be in everybody's favor. But that doesn't mean you have to quit. You have to, as a young man, as a young girl, you guys have to keep at it. It's out there, but you have to, and there's so much competition, and you have to realize you have to be the best you can be. You have to put yourself out there beyond all of those others who are interested in some of the same things you are. You know, but you have to keep doing it. You have to do it for yourself. You have to be positive. You have to be strong. And of course, you're going to have that support. You know, as long as you got support, you can keep doing it. You know, I guess what I'm saying is do something great. Do something wonderful. Do something memorable. You're not put on this earth just to sit back and do nothing or commit a crime or something. You put on this earth, I believe, to make a difference. To make a difference in yourself, to make a difference in other people's lives, to do something great, to contribute to the national conversation. You know, do something memorable, do something positive, do something for yourself, do something for the people around you. That's what it's all about, making the world a better place. And that's one of the things I love about these young people who are on the Cubs team. I mean, these guys, they're super duper. You know, I wish Denver could hit the ball like that, but he can't. But that doesn't mean that he can't find something else to do to make himself great. And I can say the same thing for thousands and thousands, even millions of people out there. Just because you can't play baseball doesn't mean you can't play golf. Just because you can't play golf doesn't mean you can't play basketball. And I'm not going to say anything about football because that's another issue. The concussions, that's another issue. If I had a choice, which I do, my son would never play football. I told him that years ago. I said, you're not going to play football. You can forget it. You can watch it on television. We can go out and enjoy a game of football. But, you know, it's too risky. Concussions are serious. But anyway, let's get back to the Cubs. I'm not a sportcaster, okay? It's just that I love the Cubs because they're giving people around the world another look at Chicago because so many people are looking at Chicago as the crime mecca of America, and it's not. It's totally not. We have our bad guys. We have our thugs. But, you know, there's more to Chicago than that. Beside high taxes and rotten politicians, there is more to Chicago than that. It's a beautiful town. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to raise your family. It's a wonderful place to visit. Yeah, I'm blowing my horn for Chicago, and I don't care because too many people are saying negative things about it. Yeah, we have our bad guys. Of course. What city or state doesn't? We just got to, you know, get a handle on it. That's all. And the Cubs are about to do this thing, man. And by this time tomorrow, or maybe in a few hours, maybe, because they do play. You know, so that's one of the things that I'm very, very proud of the city for. We have some great sport teams. Even the White Sox, the Chicago White Sox, they're winning, but they're not in the playoffs. They didn't win enough to be in the playoffs. They're not the Cubs. And however, I do think that the Chicago White Sox, I do think they deserve to go. They should go, put it this way, that way. They should go to the playoffs. I mean, the last time the Sox won the World Series was back in 2005, 11 years ago. So I think their time has come. You know, but they had this manager, Robin Ventura. He may lose his job after the season is over because for 4 years in a row with the White Sox, he has not taken them to the playoffs. So, you know, I mean, you get a job, you got to produce, right? That's what the managers and the owners want you to do, produce. If you don't produce, you're out of there. Who knows? He might be around for a fifth year because the White Sox aren't doing so bad, you know, in my view anyway. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, and the Cubs are about to do this thing, folks. It's going to be pandemonium fun. Fun out here at Wrigley Field. I should say probably fun in the entire city of Chicago. I mean, they're going to have parades and all of this kind of thing just for making it to the playoffs and giving Chicago baseball fans something to cheer about, something to be happy about instead of crime. And it feels good. It just feels so good to know that Chicago is about more than just shootings. And because there has been too damn many of them. And I don't want to even talk about too many shootings today. I mean, I can rail and bitch about the crime in the city of Chicago. It gets no better the more I rail about it. But I'm going to keep talking about it because I'm going to keep trying to help to bring it down. I'm going to keep trying to help our officials, police officials, politicians, to try to figure out remedies and solutions to solving this thing. Because this cannot go on forever. I mean, every time I turn on the news, read the newspaper, the internet, you know, it's the same old story. It's the same old song and dance. And we are just getting tired of it. I'm getting sick of it. I'm hating it myself. But I don't really want to go numb. I don't want to, you know, go numb as to someone gets shot. And all of a sudden I'm saying, well, too bad. That is what happens in Chicago. And then go into something else. I don't want to do that. I want to figure out how to lower the violence, the crime rate in the city of Chicago. This is one of the reasons why I have this radio show and this big ass microphone in front of me. You know, we want to help solve the crime in the city of Chicago, because it's a beautiful city. This is one of the greatest cities in America. If you can't take anybody's word for it, take my word for it. And I'm pretty sure some of the tourists and some of the people who visit the city think the same thing. So the national news is saying one thing, but Chicago is a lot more. It's a lot more. And I'm pretty sure that the mayor and the governor, they are very embarrassed, if they shouldn't be embarrassed, by the crime in the city of Chicago, especially when the crime in the city of Chicago makes national news. Now, that's a great embarrassment, because when the crime in Chicago makes national news, they don't like it. You know why? Because it's embarrassing to them. They are taking the blame for this, the politicians. People are saying across the world, they're saying, what are the politicians doing? They can't protect Chicago. They can't protect the people of that city and the state. These are politicians. No, they can't. And it seems as if they don't have a plan to try to bring down the crime. They don't have a plan. The mayor doesn't have a plan. The governor doesn't have a plan. The superintendent of police in the city of Chicago, they do not have plans. They have nothing. They can come up with all kinds of excuses to why the crime is happening. Hell, I can do that. But they have no solutions to ending it. No plan of attack to trying to lower the massive crime rate, the shootings that go on every single night, not just the weekends or on holidays, but every single damn night. These are politicians with no plans of how to do this. This is a federal emergency. I don't know why they don't call it that. Maybe it's because they feel they're too proud to accept federal help in the city of Chicago. But I believe that they are accepting federal help, because I think the Department of Justice has sent some money into the city of Chicago to help it fight crime. But you got to do more than throw money at it. You got to have a plan. The money that came into Chicago from the federal government is basically for hiring more police officers. But if you don't have a plan, it doesn't matter how many damn police officers you put out here on the street. You don't have a plan, it's not going to work. If you don't have a way of solving the problem, if you don't have solutions, I mean, you can go out here, you can have fewer cops on the street, but if you have a plan to solve it with those few cops, why would you need federal money to hire more cops? To hire more cops and not being able to solve the problems. They're just, you know, getting a taxpayer paycheck. I mean, you got some cops out here right now in the city of Chicago. They are afraid to stop and frisk guys. They're afraid to stop you on the street. You know, they're afraid to, I'm assuming that they might figure they're going to be, somebody's going to have a video camera or something, and they're going to be taped and stuff like that, and might find themselves on YouTube. You know, so, you know, I do think that the policing in Chicago is a little bit lax, because a lot of police officers, they're afraid to do their job, or some will not do their jobs because they're afraid of a lawsuit, losing their jobs, or winding up on YouTube, or, you know, and one of the reasons why I think they do not stop people like they used to is even if they see a reason to, is because of the amount of the paperwork they have to fill out. Now, I've heard this. I mean, they have a hell of a lot of paperwork to fill out for a single stop, whether they're stopping someone on foot or stopping someone in a vehicle. They have a mountain of paperwork to fill out, to complete. And a lot of the cops, they don't like the paperwork. So they decide, hey, I'm not going to stop anybody. I don't want to do all this paperwork. Who knows? They might be letting a murderer get away. Who knows? I don't know. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762. It is a great day in Chicago, folks. The Cubs are about to clinch this thing, and it's going to be, I kind of wished I was there, but I got to do the show, so maybe next time. But anyway, they're about to clinch this thing tonight. Everybody is excited. I can feel the joy right here, and I'm happy too. I these guys are just talented to the bone. I'm thinking that they might go all the way to the World Series, and I'm hoping a lot of people saying that they're going to falter. They're going to drop they're going to fall in the playoffs. I hope not. I hope they continue to go on because Chicago needs it. We need this. And the Cubs haven't had a what? They haven't gone to this World Series in over 105 years, I believe it. 105, 110 years. They, the Cubs, they should do it. I mean, because it's been over, well over 100 years since the Cubs have gone to the playoffs, or even in some cases, gone to the playoffs. So they have to keep doing it. And I think they will, because these they've been kicking everybody's ass, every team's ass that they played so far, mercifully. And I'm hearing that the Cubs played yesterday, but they didn't. The Cubs played yesterday. However, but I'm hearing that they didn't want to win that game. They didn't want to clinch it, the game yesterday, because it was away. So they actually wants to clinch clinch at home. They want to clinch at home at Wrigley Field. In some cases, I can understand that. You want to win that big win, that number one win. You want to do it at home among your own crowd instead of doing it, you know, miles and miles and miles away, you know, in front of some other crowd. I can understand that. You know, so a lot of people are arguing about that the Cubs are clinching too early. Oh, I don't buy that. I really don't buy that. You clinch when you clinch. And it is beautiful, folks. It is great. I know there's a lot of Cub fans around the world, and that's a great thing. That's a great thing. Okay. All right. You've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show, WTTTY. My guest today, author Dr. David Simonson on parenting. Okay. That could happen. It may not happen, but we'll just have to wait and see. Okay. Author and... Okay, somebody wrote this wrong. Okay, I'm going to try to say it. All right. Author David Simonson on parenting on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Of course, this is all about making the world a better place. It is the talk of our times. Okay, what do we have here? Obstacles cannot crush me. Okay, it's a saying. Let me try that again. Obstacles cannot crush me. Every obstacle yields a stern resolve. Okay. Setbacks are just a part of life. And I agree with that. Setbacks are a part of life. You get knocked down, you get right back up again. You get knocked down 10 times, you get back up again. You get knocked down 15 times, you get back up again. Do not let them overtake you. You know, it's life is going to be life. You have to be strong enough to get out there and do it for yourself. You know, you're going to have people trying to tell you you're not going to make it. You can't do it. You're going to have folks who are not going to support you. Still, you have to do these things for yourself. Figure out what you want to do, what you want to be, what you want to be about, and go out there and get it and show the world that you have talent. That's all about. That's all it's about. Showing the world that you can do it.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. And we are helping to make the world a better place, one show at a time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for finding the show, downloading the show, and just having a great time. Here we go.
So this past weekend, Hillary Clinton took a lot of heat for a comment that she made about Donald Trump supporters when she referred to, you know, about half of them as being part of what she called a basket of deplorables. Now, politically speaking, bad move by Hillary Clinton. Factually speaking, could not have been more accurate. First of all, the quote, as usual, was pretty much taken out of context because when she was talking about the basket of deplorables, she mentioned that these were the racists, the bigots, the homophobes, the sexists, the misogynists. She did list the kind of people she was talking about, and yes, those kinds of people are absolutely abhorrent. And then she talked about the other basket that's not filled with racists and horrible people, just people who are fed up with being taken advantage of by corporations, by the government, the anti-establishment folks that are not violent, they're not horrible, they're just people that want to see some change. That's the part that got left out. But when you look at the fact, and I know she's come out and apologized for this, I really wish she hadn't. This was a strong statement, it was a true statement, and she should have stood by it. But when you look at the facts and you look at who supports Donald Trump, you see that Hillary Clinton was absolutely right. Look at this. 65% of Donald Trump supporters think that President Barack Obama is a Muslim. 59% believe that he was not born in the United States. 31% say that we should ban homosexuals from entering the United States. 16% believe that whites are a superior race. Those are the people that support Donald Trump, but the New York Times goes a step further and lists out the other folks. 80% of likely Trump voters supported Trump's proposed ban on Muslims. 62% supported creating a national database of Muslims, and 40% supported shutting down mosques in the United States. 38% said they wish the South had won the Civil War. 33% thought the practice of Islam should be illegal in the United States. 32% supported the policy of Japanese internment during World War II. These are Donald Trump supporters. They are white supremacists who do believe that white is a superior race and that anyone who is not a heterosexual white man needs to be controlled somehow by the government, perhaps not allowed in this country, perhaps not allowed to practice their religion, or maybe we just round them up, put them in special places where nobody can see, touch, or hear them. That is what Donald Trump supporters believe. They truly are a basket of deplorables. At this point, it's really not even a basket. It's more of, you know, a huge giant container, maybe several baskets. That's the only problem I have with Hillary Clinton making this statement, is that she didn't go big enough. Donald Trump supporters are absolutely disgusting. And again, probably not a good political move by Hillary to say this, but that doesn't make her statement not true.
All right. Well said. Well said. Trump's children, frail defending dead. I mean, they're out there. His kids are out there trying to defend him. Okay. They're trying and they're not doing a good job of it. Okay. Donald Trump Jr. I mean, he said releasing tax returns would raise too many questions. I mean, that's telling us right now that Trump is hiding something in his taxes. His son just gave it away. Releasing his tax returns would raise too many questions. The guy just told on his father. They're trying to defend Donald Trump's children. He's got three, two boys and one girl, and they're trying to get out here and campaign for their dad. And they're saying things that is going against their father. And I'm pretty sure he's getting them in private and saying, stop that. You guys don't know what you're talking about. And after he said that, he cuts off an interview after being asked about charity money. It's obvious that Trump is hiding something in his taxes. This is why he will not release them. Every Republican so far, every Democrat running for office or running for any federal office, Congress or whatever, has released their taxes. Trump will not release them. Obviously, he's hiding something. The guy probably thinks if he releases taxes, he will not win the election. You know, I'm not, you know, I am not looking to bury Trump for his taxes. But I don't care about Trump's taxes. I couldn't give a damn about Trump's taxes. The mere thought of him not releasing his taxes doesn't bother me. But the what does bothers me is that he's hiding something. What is it? Is he as rich as he say he is? Is he really in bed with Russia? How much has he truly given to charities? How much is he actually worth? Or is there something more devastating there? But there is no doubt about it. This guy is hiding something. Donald Trump is hiding something, and he's coming up in the polls. I think in about a week or so, if not a few days, he's going to be leading Hillary Clinton nationally and in some of the battleground states. He's going to be leading them. The reason why he doesn't release his taxes, the man is totally hiding something. And now even Republicans are saying, Donald, release your taxes. Because they're saying, well, we released ours. You got to release yours. But he will not do it. I mean, if you want to be voted president, let the American people see what's in your taxes so we will know if we want to vote for you or not. But Donald, he's steadfast. This guy is steadfast on not releasing his taxes. So therefore, and no matter who who asks him to release his taxes or people beg him, he will not do it. Donald Trump doesn't really want to talk about his taxes. At one time, I believe he said that his taxes were nobody's business, or maybe it was one of his kids. I don't know. But at some point, it was said that his taxes was nobody's business. I disagree. I think his taxes is America's business. I mean, when you're in the public eye, nothing should be hidden. But there's so much about Donald Trump that's not transparent, as you probably know. It's mind-boggling. Yeah, Ivanka gets defensive over her father's past pregnancy comments. Trump says that he kisses her. You know, I've seen Trump pat his daughter on her butt. His daughter is grown, okay? But I think that's inappropriate for a father to be doing, going around kissing his daughter like he's kissing his wife or patting his daughter on a rump. There's photographs of that out there. But, you know, I'm just, you know, calling off what I'm seeing here. Wow, Holocaust joke. Okay, Holocaust joke. All right. Lies about Clinton's childcare policies. Of course, Trump is always lying. He's lied about Clinton so many times. What I hate about Hillary Clinton is that when he lies about her and he tells a lot, she doesn't come out and defend herself and say, hey, that's not true. That's not true. She just pivots onto something else. And if you don't stand up to a lie or call a lie, it's going to stick and there's people going to start to believe it. You have to defend yourself. When someone's lying on you, defend yourself. Clinton, it's the same as Obama. You know, if somebody's lying on Obama or his family, he will not say anything. He will not come back and retaliate against someone talking about his family because he feels as if he's above all of that. But when you're dealing with people like Trump and when you're dealing with people like the Republicans, you have to meet them head on. If they're in the garbage, if they're down in the dumps in the garbage, you have to be down in the dumps with the garbage. In other words, you fight fire with fire, you know, because you will lose. The Republicans holler, they scream, they yell, they lie, and they win. Democrats are soft. The Democrats are soft. Most of the time, they're telling the truth about an issue, and they're on the right side of an issue, but they're too nice. They're too soft. They're too soft-spoken, and they get their asses kicked. The Republicans, they scream bloody murder. They lie through their teeth. Yet they win because they scream bloody, take Donald Trump. He yells his ass off, but now he's winning. And some people say he's winning because he's toned down his rhetoric. He's talking more about the issues. He's going out to black churches. He's talking to black people. If Donald Trump wins, I would actually be shocked because he doesn't have the black vote. He doesn't have the Hispanic vote. He's losing the Jewish vote. He's losing that. Basically, Donald Trump's supporters is just like the guy said on my show a minute or so ago. Donald Trump supporters are white supremacists. I mean, you don't see not many black faces out there in the crowds at his rallies. And in the beginning, I mean, there was so much racism and hatred at his rallies. There was violence and all of this kind of thing at his rallies. And it seems like that is sort of toned down now. But I'd be surprised if Donald Trump wins this. But I'm not saying he will not, because Clinton has, you know, I mean, she has not been so transparent herself about this sickness. And saying it's not that big of a deal is totally, you know, a lie, because it is that big of a deal. Pneumonia can kill you. And not following your doctor's advice, Hillary Clinton, can also kill you. But she's back out there on the campaign trail now. Yeah, she's back out there doing it. You know, hopefully she won't faint out there. Who knows? Because if she has another attack or whatever it is, if she faints or falls or trips, she's done. Because Donald Trump is within the margin of error nationally. She's only leading Donald Trump, from my understanding, by 2 points. 2 points. That's why I say in a few days, he's going to overtake her nationally if she doesn't do anything. The only thing I think she can do is the upcoming debates. The debates are going to play heavy on the minds of Americans. It's those debates. Those debates can put her, if she wins, if she knocks him out or whatever, in the debates, her poll numbers would probably go up. They would go up again. But for right now, she's sinking. She's sinking. And that's why she's out there and have to, you know, go to California and go to some of these other swing states and talk to the people. But I don't think that's going to do it. I don't think that's going to raise her poll numbers. I think what's going to raise her poll numbers, get her out there in front of Donald Trump again, are these upcoming debates, the ones starting on the 27th of September. The debates are going to raise her profile again, because a lot of people are pissed off at her because she wasn't transparent enough. And this brings back into play how much we can trust Hillary Clinton. I mean, during the campaign a few months ago, everybody was talking about her trustworthiness, her likability, and all that kind of thing. That is back in play. That is back in play. You know, even with me, like I said yesterday on the show that I wasn't going to vote. I'm not going to vote for Hillary. I'm not going to vote for Trump. If at all possibility, I'm going to write Bernie Sanders' name. I'm going to write him in on the ballot, because I really don't care for neither one of these candidates. I'm going to tell you the truth. I truly don't. I don't trust Hillary. I don't trust Donald Trump, but I do trust Bernie Sanders. And I'm pretty sure some people are saying to Bernie Sanders, who are in his circle, if he would jump back in the race, if Hillary has another bout with her health, you know. And my thinking is probably he will not. He will not. And I don't know. I don't know. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. You know, so That's how
my
it goes,
son
folks.
Has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been.
Yeah,
arrested.
I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me. You know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it. It's
happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. Stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
All right, two cops, two police officers were attacked by a man with a meat cleaver. Wow, a meat cleaver. They attacked. This guy attacked two police officers in New York with a meat cleaver. Wow. And now they're investigating this, and they're investigating it to see if it is a hate crime or a terrorism crime on police. Now, that's something I advocate. That's something I does not advocate. I don't advocate violence on police officers. No way. I don't advocate violence on anyone. This show is about making the world a better place. So I don't advocate violence on police officers, and I don't advocate violence on anyone, even Black Lives Matters. No group, no one. I don't condone killing in any form. But like I said earlier on the show, we have the bad guys out here. The bad guys are out here, and there's no doubt about it. Some cops in some areas are targeted. There's no doubt about that. You got crazy people, mentally ill people out here who will do anything, and they don't care about going to jail. You know, they don't care about their lives, their families. They, you know, and it's just rough. Sandra Bland's family, they've won some money. But her mother says that it's not about the money. It's about the money. It's always about the money. But anyway, congratulations to her. You know, so she won a settlement on that. Her family, Sandra Bland, and that's great. That's wonderful. All right. Crime is all over the place, folks. It's all over the place, and we have to do something about it. It just has to be something done. You know, and that's what this show is all about, making the world a better place, one show at a time. But I can't do it by myself. I can't do it with just a few people. We all have a part in this. We all have a part in this, and we all must realize that part in this, and we all must realize this, that we can make a difference in the world. There's no doubt about that. We can make a difference. We can make a difference. Okay, it seems like we're having some problems. Maybe I should have, let's see. Okay. Okay.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
New national CNN poll out for the presidency. Now, Donald Trump, it's not almost not fair. The guy's there's never been a train wreck of this proportion in history. A ham sandwich would be killing this guy in the polls. Am I right? I mean, anybody could run against this guy. But whoa! Hillary Clinton losing to Donald Trump in a national poll. Now, whether that's with the margin of error or if it's this, that, and they didn't ask the question, that is pathetic. Donald Trump, as close to a legitimate clown as we've ever had. He's got the orange hair and the orange face, and he's a maniac and a clown. He's psychotic. He's bankrupt every time he starts a business.
He couldn't make money with a casino.
Couldn't make money with a casino. He's been prosecuted for being a racist, him and his father, for being racists. Couldn't offend. There isn't a group in America left besides white racists he hasn't offended. You're still losing to him. Think about that, what the Democrats did to America. Instead of giving a candidate that people like Bernie said, they forced this down our throat. You know why? Because they don't care about beating Trump as much as they care about keeping the status quo. Here's another reason why maybe she's losing in the polls, because people can't stand her. And we see right through her. Here, look at this. This is from the statements that best describe Hillary Clinton. She has the personality and temperament to serve. Only 42% of America says that. So 6 out of 10 people say she doesn't have the personality or temperament to serve. Does she care about people like you? 2 out of 10 people believe that. 2 out of 10. I'm going to guess the upper 20% of income earners. She shares your values. Again, 2 out of 10 people says 2 out of 10. She shares their values. Honest and trustworthy, 1 in 10. 9 out of 10 people say she's not trustworthy or honest. 9 out of 10 people. And these are the people that the left-wing media is singing her praises, defending her every corrupt move. They can't defend her enough. Paul Krugman can't write enough columns about what a great woman she is. 9 out of 10 people don't trust her. So maybe that's why you picked a horrible candidate, and we were screaming it to people. We were screaming it to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. We were screaming it to Joan Walsh. We were screaming it to Rachel Maddow. We were screaming it to everybody at MSNBC and CNN. We were screaming it. And the New York Times, hey, she's a horrible candidate. Nobody liked her back in 2008. Guess what? She got her ass kicked by a black guy with a Muslim name. We rejected her then. What do you think? Why would we want her any? Things are only worse now. One guy says, here's a guy named Amir online. He says, note to the Democrats, when you insult voters by denying fair primaries, they probably won't like it. Yes, so it's come out that her and the Democratic Party were in collusion to screw over a real progressive. for somebody with Republican policy positions. Not even Democrat. She's pro-fracking. She's pro-TPP. She's pro-the Exxon pipeline. She's for more deregulation of Wall Street. She's a warmonger. She's not a Democrat. She's not what we consider Democrat. But the Democratic Party, more interested in power than actually beating Donald Trump, rammed her down our throat, which we now know. It was revealed in WikiLeaks. It was revealed. Here's it, and here's what I found this. I don't know who made this. When voting for Hillary after she steals the nomination from your candidate, it's like watching McDonald's workers spit in your sandwich and eating it anyway. But they don't need our votes. Hillary Clinton isn't coming to get my vote anyway. She's not coming after environmentalists. She's not coming after anti-war people or peace wing of her party. She's not coming after us. She's not coming after people who want economic justice, who want to re-regulate Wall Street, who want to break up. She's not coming after us. She knows she's going after Jeb Bush voters. Literally, she's going after them. She's not coming after us. She's not coming after Jill Stein voters. And she's losing. This her strategy of going after Republicans is a loser. Let's remember, when the people are presented with a Republican or someone who sounds like a Republican, they choose the Republican every time. Why do people not like her? Why is she losing to Donald Trump in a national poll right now? Why? I'll tell you why. It's not like the Democrats don't know it. They're just hoping that everybody has amnesia. The Democrats know why. Here's Barack Obama telling you why. And then someone juxtaposed it with Barack Obama from today. And you can see that their strategy for winning an election is lying to their own voters. Ready?
I just have to remind people of the track record. If you want someone with a lifelong track record. Now, this is Senator Clinton. This is the same person who has taken more money from lobbyists than any other candidate, Democratic or Republican, of fighting for higher wages and better benefits and a fairer tax code and a bigger voice for workers and stronger regulations on Wall Street.
See, that's bull. And we all know that's bull. Except he stands up there and says it full-throated with a grin on his face like he can snow us. But we're not being snowed anymore. We see through it. We see through you, Barack. You're pushing the TPP with all your might, which is against everybody in your party, everybody on your base, all fair-minded economists. You're going against everybody because you're in the pocket of corporations, and we all see through it. We see through that. You say, because we heard what you said in 2008. We heard what you said because you're saying then what we are all saying now and have been saying ever since. So the Democrat strategy is that hope that everybody has amnesia.
This is the same person who took money from financial folks on Wall Street and then voted for a bankruptcy bill that makes it harder for folks right here in Pennsylvania to get a fair shake. Then you should vote for Hillary Clinton. This is the same person who spent a decade with her husband campaigning for NAFTA and now goes around saying how she was opposed to NAFTA. She's got specific ideas to invest in new jobs, to help workers share in their company's profits. This is the same person who says she's voting for the Columbia trade deal. Turns out that her top advisor, her top strategist, was working for the Colombian government to get the bill passed. There has never been a man or a woman, not me, not Bill, nobody, more qualified than Hillary Clinton to serve as president of the United States of America.
So America knows. That's the problem. You keep thinking, oh, we'll have a new commercial strategy. We're going to have a marketing strategy where we pretend that all the stuff that America knows, they don't know anymore. And we'll pretend that she's actually going to help people who are struggling when she's not. She already backtracked on $15 minimum wage. She already washed her hands of that, even though it's in the platform. This is called lipstick on a pig. This is window dressing on shit. That's what this is. We know who Hillary Clinton is. Everybody does. That's why she can't beat. She can't get past 50%. She can't beat Donald Trump. A woman, the first woman, can't. You should be ashamed. The Democrats should be ashamed of themselves. But they're not. Because it's all about money. They don't care. Guys like Paul Krugman, who can't write enough bullshit articles in defense of this garbage. He wants to be Secretary of the Treasury. That's why he writes it. No one believes, and people see through it. So now the left-wing media has become just as disingenuous and deceitful as the right-wing media. Congratulations. Now the Democratic media, now not only Democratic politicians are indistinguishable from Republicans, the left-wing media is too. Because you're apologizing for this stuff now. Because she's not a Democrat. She's not a liberal. She's not a progressive. You know what she is? She's a neocon war hawk in bed with corporations, the pharmaceutical industry, and Wall Street. She's a Republican who wants to bring black people to heel and takes money from private prisons industry. I wonder. So don't fucking bitch at me or Bernie Sanders supporters. You got nobody to blame but yourself for this horrible candidate. And your best option is if she wins and wrecks the country.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
Thank you. I am Samantha Bee. Welcome to Full Frontal. Listen, can we set politics aside for a second and appreciate that history was made last week?
I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
We have waited our whole lives to hear a woman say those words and then immediately get criticized for the way she said them in. Gosh, you boys sure hate your mothers, don't you? Lucky for Democrats, their big shindig followed the four-day blooper reel that was the Republican convention, a poorly attended rage-a-thon featuring a parade of hemorrhoidal has-beens trying to literally scare up votes by making America shit its pants.
Every American should be terrified.
I half expected to close my mirror in the Cleveland Holiday Inn and see Newt Gingrich with a knife. TerrorCon 16 set the bar so low for the...
Author, radio host, and MSNBC political analyst. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Let me play you something that Republican vice presidential candidate said about Republican criticisms of Trump when it comes to foreign policy. Take a listen.
You know, I'm old enough to remember a president that you covered a few years back who, when he was running for president in 1979 and 80, they were saying about the same thing.
But I mean, there was never that kind of mass defection.
Well,
from
I think there was just as much criticism of Ronald Reagan's broad-shouldered approach to foreign policy.
So what do you make, Ron, of Mike Pence's comparison there?
Well, one thing he left out, I suppose, is that my father wasn't pathological. My father would have been humiliated, embarrassed by what has happened to his party, the Republican Party, and would be humiliated, embarrassed that they have nominated somebody like Donald Trump to be president of the United States. We can talk about his foreign policy address coming up. We can talk about anything you want to about the Trump campaign. But the fact of the matter is that Trump should not be in this race. He's an absurdity. He is a travesty. And that is the reality here. I know it's difficult for journalists, television journalists, and even print journalists to deal with this. We're used to covering presidential races where we grant credibility to both sides. But that is not the case this time. We have a candidate on one side, Hillary Clinton, who, whatever you may think of her, whatever you may think of her policy prescriptions, is a credible candidate. Donald Trump is not. I had the dubious pleasure of reading the transcript of the speech today. It's full of the usual empty jargon. This is a man who knows nothing about the world and cannot be president of the United States. That amounts to a national emergency.
part, well, when you talk about an emergency, there's a lot of Republicans who think they have one within the party. And I want to read to you some of the polls that are just out on millennial voting from USA Today and Rock the Vote. Hillary Clinton leading Donald Trump by 36 points among those under 35. Trump's 20%, the worst showing since they started taking this poll, even worse than Richard Nixon's 36% in 1972. That was the previous low. If this pattern holds, it would be the third election in a row where Democrats win the youth vote, not just win it, but win it by double digits. And I wonder about this editorial in The Wall Street Journal, which was, I think, pretty shocking in just how strong it is. What do you expect to see? You've been around politics your whole life. Do you think that you're going to see a lot more Republicans, particularly running for those down ballot races who just separate themselves completely from Donald Trump?
Yes, and I wouldn't be surprised at all. We've already heard reports that the RNC is planning to pull funding from the Trump campaign and funnel it instead towards the Senate races and congressional races. And I would look for that to happen. Yes. I mean, again, this is an untenable candidate. The tragedy here for the Republican Party and for, I guess you could say, the political system as a whole, we have a two-party system in our country. You could argue that maybe we should have a multi-party system, and maybe that's what will happen in the end now. But the two-party system, as we've known it for a long, long time now, is effectively dead. The Republican Party does not exist, will not exist going forward as it has in decades past. The problem is not Donald Trump. He's just a symptom. The problem for the Republican Party is the Trump voter. The Trump voter, which is nearly half the party, they're not going to go for Paul Ryan or somebody like that next time. They're going to want another Donald Trump. So the Republican Party, as I said, has virtually ceased to exist.
Ron Reagan, always good to see you. Thanks so much.
Nice to be with you, Chris. Thanks.
Well, those were some harsh words, but, you know, that's Ron Reagan speaking his mind. All right, let's get back to Sandra Bland. Family reaches $1.9 million settlement. You know, I mean, the Sandra, wow, that's a lot of money. I can making my head swim. The family of Sandra Bland, a black Naperville woman who died in a Texas jail cell after a traffic stop, has reached a $1.9 million settlement in a wrongful death suit, a lawyer for the family said today. It's awesome. I guess this is what Sandra Bland's mother is saying. She's saying, it's awesome. Yeah, that's a lot of money, and it is awesome. She told the Chicago Sun-Times, it's a victory for mothers across the country. No. The only mother that's going to be enjoying that $1.9 million is you, Mrs. Bland. And it's all about money. So, you know, she's going to be rich for the rest of her life. And, you know, so I do think she deserves it. But still in all, money is not the all that meets, is not the all of the end. I mean, you got to have change within the police department. You can get all the money you want. But if the police department in Naperville and Chicago and other cities and states, if they don't make some changes, you know, the money won't mean anything, because other people are going to be victims of police officers. And as I've said before, earlier into the show, I'm not for the killing of police officers. No way. No how. And I don't think anybody else should be. I'm not for the killing of innocent black men, you know, in the back or shot down or whatever. I'm not for all of that. I'm for peace. Some people are probably out there laughing. But, you know, I'm for making the world a better place. This is what this show is about, you know, because the world needs it. It really needs to be made a better place. And as the Michael Jackson song goes, Man in the Mirror, if you want to solve the world of its problems, look in the mirror. Look at yourself and make that change. Because that's what it's all about. We have to be the one to make the world a better place. The bad guys are going to be out there. You lock one bad guy up, another bad guy is going to sprout up. You know, they're going to keep coming. But we just have to learn how to protect ourselves. You know, when you're walking down the street, you know, especially in the city of Chicago, you have to look left, look right, look over, look under. You have to pay attention to what's going on around you, because the bad guys will jump out of the crevices and, you know, do harm to you, me, or to anybody. It doesn't matter. You know, they're out to wreak havoc on the public, and there's no police officers around. That's the thing about it. You know, when someone gets mugged or robbed or in Chicago on the streets, broad daylight, you know, the first thing you ask yourself, where is the police? I thought they were patrolling. I thought they were on foot patrol or patrolling in their squad cars. Where are the police? The police never show up until it happens, until the bad guy has gotten away. Then they show up and stand around, you know, instead of going out there looking for the bad guy. But you have to, and I'm talking to seniors and the elderly, because it seems like the seniors and the elderly are the culprits, are the most vulnerable for these thugs. But if you think it, if you're speaking in general, these thugs, these criminals out here, it doesn't matter what your age is. If you put yourself in a vulnerable position, they are going to pounce on you. Especially some of these women out here, some of these young girls. I mean, they are getting, you know, robbed, raped, you know, assaulted almost every day at their schools, universities, by these young thugs. And you're always telling yourself, out in the open too. I mean, these guys, they don't try to hide what they do anymore. I mean, if they want you, it doesn't matter how many people are on the street, where you are, what you're doing, you know, they gonna come after you. I mean, nothing's gonna stop them, because these guys are bold, and they will break in your house. You know, they're breaking your apartment. It doesn't matter. They coming after you. It doesn't matter where you live. You can live in the plushest of suburbs. Well, it never happens here. Crime can happen anywhere, to anybody, anytime. It doesn't matter where you live. You're not safe anywhere. There's some people, I live in a quiet suburb. Nothing happens here. We can keep our doors open. We keep our garages open. Nothing happens. You better close your doors. You better shut that garage door, because these guys are out there. It's a shame. It's sad. It's pitiful. It's not right. But it's the world that we live in today. It's what we live in today. I mean, even yours truly. I mean, when I go outside, when I step out here with my family, my son, whatever, you know, believe it or not, I'm armed. Do I want to be? No. Do I have to be? Yes. Because I'm no better than anybody else out there, you know, who are victims of crime. You know better than anybody else out there who are victims of crime. That thug, that bad guy, do not know you from the person that they are victimizing. You can tell yourself, well, that could have been me. And it could have. You know, these guys don't discriminate. All they want your personal property. They want your debit card. They want your credit card. They want your cell phone. Then they're going to knock you in the head. Or you may even get shot. Some of these guys, if you don't have a cell phone, if you don't have money, they'll shoot you. Next thing you know, the police are saying, well, we have no one in custody. And that's the part that gets me. When some of these crimes go on where police officers are supposed to be patrolling, they're not patrolling for some reason. They're not out there. And the crime happens and the bad guy gets away. And everybody knows that when the bad guy gets away, that bad guy is going to assault, rob, commit a crime or a homicide on someone else. If the guy's not caught. I think the police department in Chicago, I think they are so lax. I do believe that the crime in the city of Chicago, the high crime, is probably the fault of some of the police officers, maybe 10 or 20%. The police officers' fault, because some of them will not patrol, whether it's on foot or in the squad car, as much as they should. And I've said many times, I think police officers should be posted, not patrolling, but posted in some of these high crime areas. They won't do it. They won't. I can't. help. I can't help them make the world a better place if they don't take these solutions. I'm pretty sure they've heard the show, and I'm pretty sure it's gotten out that I've said George Wilder Jr. said we should post cops in some of these communities, and that's true. Never, a cop should never be anywhere else but in that community. If he has to go to the bathroom, he'll get relieved by another police officer. If he has to take a break, he'll be relieved by another police officer. If he has to, if his shift is over and he goes home, he should be replaced. He shouldn't be able to leave that spot until another officer covers him. That's my solution. Hiring more cops, it's another one. But you can't hire more cops if you don't have a solution or a plan to bringing down crime. More cops is not the solution if you do not have a plan. Do you have a plan? Hire more cops. If you don't have a plan, hiring more cops is not going to do jack. Also, I've said many times on this show, the National Guard, put them over there in these high crime areas. Put them around the city. The United States Army, put them over there in those high crime neighborhoods. Because if the bad guys shoot at the United States Army, the United States Army will shoot back. You want to prevent crime in the city of Chicago? You want to lower the crime statistics? You can do it. But we don't have politicians or leaders with backbone. We have them making all kinds of excuses, but no solutions, no plans. Just the other day, the superintendent of police of Chicago, the head guy, says that the crime in Chicago, the murders in Chicago, is a society problem. I almost vomited when I heard that. It's a society problem. As if the police officers do not have a stake in trying to lower crime or prevent it. It's a society problem. Now, if he worked for me and I was a mayor, I would probably fire him for saying that. But however, we have a mayor on the same page because he doesn't really care about the crime in Chicago. I mean, he'll talk crime for a second, then he'll move on to something else, have the things that are totally unrelated to crime. Move on to this thing, move on. With the over 600 people, maybe 588 people have died, been murdered in Chicago since January 16. He should be focused, He should be focused like a laser. The mayor of Chicago should be focused like a laser on solving this crime problem. Kids are getting shot. Babies are getting shot. 588 murders or more since the beginning of 2016. He should be focusing like a laser on this. Instead, he'll say a few words and feel a little sad or melancholy, and he'll move on to something else like beautifying the city or building this or building that. He should be focused on nothing until this crime is down, because if he's not, he will not be voted in again. Same thing with the superintendent of Chicago, the superintendent of police, should be focused like a laser. If they have plans, if they have solutions, they should let us know what they're doing because we're paying them. They are getting our tax dollars. Their paycheck is coming from our pockets. So we should know everything that they're doing. Obviously, we don't know anything, so obviously they're not doing anything about it. People are just dying, and we have a police department that doesn't seem to care. That is no doubt about it. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We're going to do this promo right quick.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is
all about making the world a better place. Join me.
Few generations, we Americans are called upon to defend our country, to defend it not so much from foreign dictators or war or terrorism, but from those here who have no commitment to progress or democracy or representative government, no commitment to anything except their own out-of-control minds and the bottomless pits of their egos. Our society has thrown up these people before. Joseph McCarthy, George Wallace, Father Coughlin, Jefferson Davis, Aaron Burr, the Know-Nothings, the Blacklisters, the America Firsters. And we have always thrown them out. And now our generation has its own, the most dangerous individual ever nominated by a major party for the highest office in this country. His base wants few details and fewer facts. They just want to burn it down and blame their failures on the collective other. And Donald John Trump is their demonic messiah in Oompa Loompa's clothing. We must stop him. It is not pleasant. It is not fair that we have to do this, but it is our turn. The average report in this series will ask for about 6 minutes of your time. This one needs nearly three times as much. The text version includes more than 160 links. I encourage you to read and save, because the emperor's new clothes quality to the Trump campaign has survived these 15 months, because as we react to each outrage, our shock and revulsion has been refracted like light through a prism. But these outrages are not separate events, not even a pattern. They are simply Donald Trump. Seen all at once, they and he are horrifying, and you must see them all at once. Thus, in brief, the story so far. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who attacked the Pope, who attacked John McCain for being captured by the North Vietnamese, who attacked Gold Star parents, Khazir and Ghazala Khan, and then juxtaposed their names with the phrase radical Islamic terrorism, who attacked Hillary Clinton as a, quote, bigot, who attacked her as brainwashed, as unhinged, as a monster, as the devil, as the most corrupt candidate ever, showing her face on piles of $100 bills and the Star of David, who attacked her as someone who Second Amendment people should do something about, as someone whose religion we don't know anything about, after he had explained he had never asked God for forgiveness, who attacked President Obama and implied he was a traitor, who attacked him as having been complicit in the Orlando terrorist attack, who attacked him for having lower approval ratings than Vladimir Putin, as if Putin's approval ratings could somehow be trusted, who attacked him as being born in another country, who attacked him as the founder of ISIS, then said that was sarcasm, then said it wasn't sarcasm, then attacked him again as the founder of ISIS, who attacked Carly Fiorina for her face, Hillary Clinton for her non-presidential look, Heidi Cruz for her appearance, Megyn Kelly for having blood coming out of her wherever, Mika Brzezinski as crazy and very dumb, neurotic, not very bright, who attacked the women who accused Roger Ailes of harassment, who attacked the women who choose abortion, and who said there should be punishments, who attacked a New York Times reporter because he had a condition that made his arms look atypical, who attacked Judge Gonzalo Curiel because he was of Mexican descent, who attacked Senator Elizabeth Warren over allegedly lying over her heritage to get into Harvard when she never went to Harvard, who attacked Senator Jeff Flake by saying he will not be reelected this year when Senator Flake is not up for reelection until 2018. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who attacked U.S. troops in Iraq and claimed they stole millions, who has attacked Ted Cruz's father and claimed he was connected to the assassination of President Kennedy, attacked Bill Clinton and claimed he was a rapist, who attacked Mexicans as rapists, bringing drugs and crime, who attacked African Americans and claimed they were all living in poverty with no jobs and schools that were no good, who attacked Harrisburg, Pennsylvania as a war zone, and attacked the United States of America and claimed it is in a, quote, death spiral. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who lied about opposing the war in Iraq when there is a tape of him supporting it, a tape recorded on the first anniversary of 9/11, who lied about opposing the war in Iraq during a speech in which he insisted, I will never lie to you, who lied about $6 million in charitable donations to veterans groups from his telethon, who lied about donating his profits from The Apprentice, about charitable donations from The Celebrity Apprentice, from Trump the Game, and to St. Jude Cancer Center, who lied about...
All right, that's David, not David, but that's Keith Olbermann. And he's telling it like it is. And we're going to hear more of him on Monday because I'm going to be off for a few days, as usual, as always. This show only goes for 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm off to do some writing, contemplating, you know what I'm saying? I have to parent, so, you know, and other things. And so basically it's a 4 day a week show. I'm going to make it 5 days, folks. So, because I love it and it's fun. It's fun. And that was Keith Olbermann. I mean, he's back. He's back and he's back with a vengeance. And he's telling us and he's talking about Donald Trump. So we're going to have more of him on Monday. So stay tuned for that. We're just about out of time. I think we've got about 8 more minutes into the show. And I'm very excited about Keith Olbermann. I'm glad he's back. He used to be on MSNBC along with Ed Schultz, Melissa Perry, all of these folks who were fired or told to pack up and leave because of the corporate people didn't like them. They didn't like what they were talking about. You know, so, you know, MSNBC. And these guys are back. Ed Schultz, he's back. He's on internet radio just like I am. He's podcasting. Keith Olbermann, I believe he's podcasting also. So, you know, they are doing well. From my understanding, they don't need MSNBC because it's controlled by large corporations, rich people, you know. And most of these people were kicked out, fired from MSNBC, and now they've got their own shows. They're on internet shows. They're all over Facebook, YouTube, everywhere. You know, they're on websites where they, you know, doing their own thing. They're not being controlled like they were when they were at MSNBC. So that's a great thing. So Keith Olbermann will be back on this show, at least a clip of him anyway, on this show Monday. And I'm glad he's back because we're going to have something from Keith Olbermann just about, you know, at least once a week, because he's such a he's so out there for the people, the average folks. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're just about off the air, folks. I believe we got about five or six more minutes into the show. So I think we're going to go to a break. Can we go to a break or not? So what do you think? Are we going to do this? Okay. All right. We're going to do this.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man struggles one more day.
tough. All right, the Cubs are about to clinch this thing, folks, and I'm just knowing that they are going to go to the World Series. I'm pretty sure that they're playing now, but, you know, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. It is exciting. It's going to be thorough. I don't know if they're going to clinch it tonight, but I hope they do, either with a win or with the Cardinals losing. Okay, someone just whispered in my ear 90 seconds. It won't take me 90 seconds to say this. Go Cubs. Go Cubs. I can hear you guys out there saying, go Chicago Cubs. At least I hope you are. And it's totally exciting, folks. It is really exciting. And I'm pretty sure that they've got the champagne ready, the beer, whatever, you know. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And if you can, tune in the game. If it's on television, if you can get it, you know, I mean, if you can't get it on television, try the radio. Sometimes it's the radio. Some of us don't have cable or dish television or dishes or whatever, or DirecTV, you know, and we can always go to the radio. Sometimes even the radio charges. You can't listen to the radio. They want money. But anyway, pay attention to the game. I mean, it's going to be exciting, and there's going to be thousands and thousands and thousands of people out here rooting for the Cubs. And check me out on Monday. All right, we got to go. We're just about off. We're going to do this. All right, we're going. Bye-bye.